And then pause recording.
Jen Harris.
Okay.
I have to get ingredients for my baking.
Okay, the Library Advisory Board is called to order now at 5:30. The board members present are Cindy Combs, Jennifer Johnson, Joan Reichel, and Doris Wells. Mary Ferguson is excused, and Will Grunlund and Susan Matthews may show up shortly. We shall see. But we have a quorum. Bill Higgins is with us, too, for his first time as City Council Liaison. And Jason McCoviet, Library Manager. So, first order of business is approval of the minutes. The minutes of the July meeting, July 2017, are here. And if anyone has any corrections or additions, now would be the time to speak up. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? All right. In that case, they will be approved as written. Next is any correspondence and communication. Do we have any, Jason?
We have the Friends 27th Annual Chocolate Tasting coming up on Saturday, February 10th. I invite everyone to come out and support the Friends and eat chocolate. And that is from 6 to 9, and that's at Central School.
Okay.
May I make a comment then? Thank you to all the bakers who are participating. We really, really appreciate that. And you can take the chocolate to Central School from 11 to 2 to deliver it. And you don't need to bring a tray. We have trays. You can just put it on cardboard or paper plate or so. And we do appreciate your donations. And also, you can sign up at the library. There's a sign-up sheet so you can bake. And we also have our silent auction items that are being gathered. And you can look on the Facebook page of the chocolate tasting, and you can see those things. So please come out and support the library. And also, thank you for your support already.
Any other communications or correspondence? If not, we'll move along to call to the public. And we don't have any public, but we do have Will and Susan. So that is good. And no old business. So Jason, would you do the new business state of the library report?
Yes. So we haven't met for 6 months now because we missed our October meeting. So I compiled some very colorful graphs just to kind of capture a snapshot of what we've been up to. And I know we all like pie graphs. So this is from July to the end of December. So what we have checked out in those 6 months are 11,590 DVDs. That is 11,590. 7,775 adult books. We've got 3,830 children's books. We've got, 897 music CDs, 567 audiobooks, and 1,616 kids' DVDs. So we've had a really good at half of the year. And then just to give you a comparison, I have two different graphs. The one that has the red, blue, and green on it, those are over the past 6 months. Those are kids' books checkouts. And then I have comparisons from 2017, 2016, and 2015 being the green, and 2017 being the red. And this is what we're really proud of. We pretty much doubled kids' easy books from 2015's 1,127, and in 2017 we checked out 2,274. That's amazing. That's really, I mean, that's, we thought last year was great at 1,801, and we went above and beyond that. Same with juvenile books, which is the next little grouping. Those are chapter books, graphic novels, and also juvenile nonfiction. And so from 2015, we had 536 checkouts, and then we went all the way up to 1,335 for this past year. Even young adult books, we have seen a little increase. That is the hardest age range to capture. But we're making progress. We're doing it. We're adding a lot of fun new materials, and I think that's helping a lot. We've expanded every section of the kids' library, starting from board books. We pretty much doubled our collection. The Friends gave us a great grant to buy graphic novels, which every kid has been wanting to read. And now, because of them and their support, we have this great graphic novel collection. And graphic novels are more of a comic book style book. And there are words in it, so it is reading. There's kind of that argument, but it's a storyline. You've got characters, you have plot, you have themes. It's fun, and they come in collections, so like the chapter books do too. So if you start one, you like it, you're going to continue with the whole series. So it's pretty exciting. And then kids' DVD is the last grouping, and that's pretty much remained pretty strong. And that is not all just animated feature films. We have a lot of nonfiction DVDs for kids as a, you know, learning educational DVDs that the Friends also sponsored, and that's included in those checkouts. And then the other graph is just a snapshot of what's going on in the adult collection. We've seen some increases. Adult fiction is still going strong. Interestingly enough, adult nonfiction has skyrocketed compared to 2015. And again, we're adding a lot of really exciting, you know, yes, exciting nonfiction. Bisbee is a very nonfiction kind of town. And they like these really cool, popular science books, all kinds of spirituality, stuff like that. And we're really catering to that and building that collection. And that's really showing too. Audiobooks took a minor hit. And I think that's because we did move them at the end of last year when we created the reading room. And people have found them again. And it's interesting because when you move a collection, it's like that collection goes into shock. It's really weird, but they're starting to get checked out again. And then music CDs, obviously, our music library has expanded manyfold, so that's why you're seeing such an increase in that. And we're still getting really good donations of music CDs, all kinds. I encourage you all to come and check some out. A couple more statistics. In the last 6 months, our adult programs saw 2,354 participants. And just last week at the Royale, we showed Blade Runner, and we had 85 people show up. So you don't have this. I'm just going to read this off. Oh. So we've had a really good participation in that. In our kids programs, we saw 419 participants. Overall, library, people walking in the library in the past 6 months, we had almost 16,000. We had 15,903. We had 1,882 kids come in, and we logged 2,726 internet hours on our public computers, and we saw volunteers donate 182 hours helping us out at the library. So that's always very much appreciated. So that's just kind of a snapshot of our statistics. If anyone have any questions on anything?
Do you have as many volunteers as you can use or want at this point? Are you comfortable in that?
Yeah, we've had, we do. We have a really strong volunteer base right now. And we actually just had one new volunteer approach us about repairing books. And I was like, that was the best thing that could have happened. You see a book that's kind of wearing out, and this guy he actually took classes and he has expertise on how to repair a book, and they're dynamite. They're coming out brand new. So we're always finding, you know, it's interesting that people bring a certain expertise to the library, and that's, you know, I would encourage anyone who wants to help us come in and show us what you can do. So that was one of those things that he just approached us and it worked. You know, I wouldn't have think like, oh, we need a book repair volunteer. But so that's pretty cool.
So staffing report is next.
Okay, so in the past 6 months, our circulation library assistant Mary Scott retired for the second time. And we miss her, but we were able to hire our new employee, Kathleen Park. And she is working the circulation desk, and she was trained in no time. She's excellent. She has a really good, which is really good with the public, and you know, interacting and very helpful finding things. And she actually, I guess I could talk about this now, because she's responsible, and we're all helping her, but we're creating a Copper Queen seed library. And this is an actual, you can check out seeds. They're going to be vegetables, wildflowers. And the idea is that you grow your plants from these seeds, and you harvest seeds from your harvest, and you bring seeds back to the library to put back into the seed library. This is going to be a learning process. We're really excited. Kathleen she's written a grant for Native Seed Search, and we got that, so they donated seeds. And she's been writing heirloom seed companies from across the country. And just last Friday, we got a gigantic box from a seed company in New England with so many seeds. It's absolutely amazing. So we're actually going to be having, and I'll be putting a call out for volunteers. We're going to be opening those seed packets and dividing them up into smaller portions for our seed library. So if anyone's interested in helping, we're going to be looking for volunteers to do that. And then in conjunction with that, Kathleen is organizing a monthly garden club at the library, and we're going to be having, it's very informal, just kind of more of a conversational sharing of gardening secrets and techniques, and we'll have like a featured speaker that will discuss just one aspect of gardening, and hopefully that will grow and we can all learn from that. And the first one's going to be the first Tuesday in March, and a gentleman by the name of Bill Crow is going to be coming down, and he is very knowledgeable at seed libraries, and this is going to be more of an introduction about what a seed library is, because it kind of sounds kind of strange that
I have a question. When we get seeds from a place like the East Coast, are they seeds that are likely to grow here?
That's what we're going to find out. With this is going to come a lot of experimenting. I want to say the stuff that I've seen in that packet, they're all heirloom quality seeds, and it's going to be a trial and error. You know, it's.
And I would think that somebody who would be knowledgeable enough to assemble that and send it to us probably took that
right
into account, but
right
it's so different here. I come from
right
Western Pennsylvania, and it took a long time to figure out how
right
to grow anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's an experiment, you know, and more of an education thing and getting people interested in gardening and, you know, actually being able to save seeds is a whole nother, you know, bag of worms as well. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We're all going to kind of learn and do it together.
You'll have vegetable seeds, but will you have flower seeds as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Any. We've had. And the other thing is, people can donate. It doesn't have to come from a seed company. Anyone in Bisbee, and that's the idea. We want to get people in Bisbee to donate their seeds that from plants that do really, really well. That's ideal.
But they do need to be heirloom seeds.
We are asked. Yeah. No hybrids and no GMOs. Yeah. And that's going to be. You know, we had someone bring in an envelope of seeds with a pepper taped to the front of it, and we're looking for a little bit more information about the plant, and we're going to have donation forms. I'm going to send out an email before this first garden meeting where we're going to be introducing the seed library, so if you guys, that would be awesome if any of you would want to attend it. And we also got... Portal has a seed library, and the woman who started that met with us, so we're kind of following her, the steps that she took, so we'll see. It should be interesting. And the Bloomers have, they donated money to buy seed saving books, so that we do have, resources that people can check out to get them started, so it should be exciting.
Yeah. Tuesday in March, but that's not normal. It says you're so.
Oh, right, because Bill couldn't make it. This will be a special
just
one.
Just wanted to clarify, make sure I wrote the right thing down. Thank you.
And as far as the staffing, it's myself at 40 hours a week and Allison Williams at 30 hours a week, and then Kathleen is 19 and a half hours a week. But we're staying steady and strong at that, and with our volunteer help, we're doing it. We're doing it. And that ends the staffing report.
So, programming update.
Okay, so it's hard to think of everything we've done, and I know you guys don't want to sit and hear everything we've done from July to December, but I just want to introduce some new things that are going on. Allison and myself were part of a workshop. We received a grant from the Arizona State Library and Scottsdale Library, and actually I included a copy of the article that the review did. It's called Fun with Math and Science, and it's a preschool learning program that helps parents and children learn about science. And we did a workshop last month or earlier this month, training us how to do these programs. And what it is, and it'll happen over the summer, but it's going to be a six-week program for preschoolers and their parents or guardians. And each 6 weeks we'll be playing with math and science. And it's actually very interesting. A lot of it has to do with senses and getting these young children to kind of think, explore and think for themselves and having the parents help them and encourage them by asking them questions about why things are the way they are and what they think that means. But it's cool, so we got to play with Play-Doh and stuff like that, and this Play-Doh that's a sensory in itself, but this particular Play-Doh, which was non-toxic, was scented with high C powder, so it was fruit scented, and obviously the kids are going to put that in their mouth, but go ahead, Joan.
I see that this is part of the summer reading program, or is that something else?
Yeah, we're gonna put it into the summer reading program as another activity. We're trying to expand summer reading program into more than just that one Wednesday. So this is just going to be incorporated into another aspect of the summer reading.
Okay. And you'll try to, I mean, scheduling it? How's the scheduling of it going to be? During the day, in the morning, at night?
We haven't figured that out yet.
Okay, that's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I just wanted to mention over the December we had the Secret Santa program, which allowed people to sponsor books and DVDs that kids had lost over the course of the year. And by sponsoring these items, that we would purchase them and we would take that item off the kids' account, because that's, once you have a lost item, you can't use your library card anymore. And in 2016, we raised about $500 for that, and this past year, we raised over $1,000.
Wow.
So we were actually able to replace so many lost items that, I mean, it's amazing, amazing.
Do you know how many cards got restored to their
I don't off the top of my head, but I will work on that. And we also did our food for finds, and we collected non-perishable canned goods for which we gave to the fire department for their family food drive, and then what we collected after that, we donated to the homeless shelter. So we had a lot of good food items. The library became a sponsor of the NACO Book Box. The county was successful in writing a grant to put these gigantics. They're like gigantic cooler type things, plastic and waterproof, and they're all around the county. And this was kind of, I think, meant to alleviate the loss of the bookmobile. So since I'm so close to NACO, we said that we would help sponsor it, and actually the Gay 90s Bar is also sponsoring it. It's right outside of their bar. I went down the other weekend and filled it. It was actually a Friday afternoon, and the county gives us donated books that we use to fill it, and it's everything from kids' books to adult books, nonfiction, fiction. There's bilingual books in there. And I had the opportunity to speak to the gentleman who works at the auto repair place, and he says the box is used all the time by kids and adults alike, and people from across the line, and people from on this side of the line, and it's awesome. And actually, when I went down there was hardly anything in it, so if anyone wants to help with that, it's basically just going, checking on it, making sure that it's neat and organized, and they have comment cards in there, and those cards would be taken out and then sent to the county library for their use. But
are those supposed to hold mostly children's books or adult as well?
It's both. It's both. It's about the way they have it set up is, I'm talking like this is a 6 foot long box.
Mm-hmm.
And deep, and the kids' books were on the right-hand side, and adult books were on the left-hand side, and both adult and kids needed replenishing, so it's kind of exciting. It's very cool. So we know that there's a want for books. You know, we always think we can say that there's a need for books, but if they don't want them, then they're not going to use them. But this is just proof that there is a want for them down there. So that's actually really, really good.
Is this set up like the Little Free Library in that people are encouraged to bring a book back?
There are no rules. You can bring it back. You can keep it. You mm-hmm. can pass it on to somebody else. There's no, like, it's the honor system. You take. And if you can bring back, that's great. And if not, you keep it at home, and that's fine too. Mm-hmm. That this is the county has done it this way, so it puts no pressure on the patron that's taking the books out.
Question: are these new books?
These are no. What we've been given from the county, they look like donations. There's some discards from the county, So yeah, it kind of runs in that direction.
I'll comment on that. I have looked at the box. I have been to Gay 90s, and I've crossed to do some volunteering with Gretchen's program. So yes, the box is a delight to look at, and when you open it, it does seem like a treasure box. It can get chaotic. I mean, people don't put books back in a neat order, but you know, it's fine. But it is a treat to see that box there.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. The next programming update, our literacy outreach. There was a donation from the Bisbee Foundation. They donated money for the city to hire a contractor to do literacy outreach, most specifically in the San Jose area. It's called a RFQ, Request for Qualifications. That is out now. And it closes on February 6th. The city could actually hire a contractor that would work under the library and work with staff to start this literacy outreach in San Jose.
Is that form available on the city website? You know, for the job application?
Yes.
So and that is available.
And I want to make note that I have three copies of all the paperwork at the front desk. If you're interested in seeing that, I did not bring one of those along.
That's okay.
But so anyone who's interested, it's not an application per se, like it's a normal employment application for the city of Bisbee. It's more of something that you put together as a packet. And that it goes to the personnel department.
Mm-hmm. And the job is a 20-hour a week?
It's 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. And bilingual?
For 6 months. Bilingual is preferred.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new. This is also very exciting. We're really trying to get the library out there. I was just telling someone the other day that I still have people that come in the library and say, I never knew there was a library in Bisbee. For us, that's like, it's so shocking because we're there every day, obviously. But we're trying to be very inclusive, and we want to, again, it's the same thing as the book box. It's easy for us to say that there's a need for, you know, literacy outreach, but we want to create the want. You know, we want to get parents interested in literacy and show them how important it is to read to their child and how that leads to being more prepared for kindergarten. And Joan has been working on this diligently.
Well, since you allowed that segue to happen, I'll comment that. Under the Cochise Area Reading Council, which is a hat that I wear, I do some projects with Irene Newland in the San Jose area, and that's fine. And we've been meeting with parents. We don't have many people that show up, but we are consistent. And it just so happens that the Reading Council will put a display for Love of Literacy for Children in the National Bank building. They said we could have a table there and for the month of February. So we're excited about that, and Jason has created a lovely bookmark that we will use as part of that display. It has on the back of the picture, the front is colorful and the back has a logo of the library, and the preschool story time is advertised, and it advertises the summer reading program. So that's really appreciated. So if anybody has any suggestions for what should go on that table, and this is experimental, so I don't know how it will turn out. But thank you, Jason, for your help.
Absolutely. Are you going to be able to offer free books by any chance?
I'm hoping that will happen, let's just say, if I volunteer or find a volunteer to be there on Friday. because that's when the children may come with the parents. So we'll see how amenable the bank staff is for either a story time or, hey, I'm going to be here for the next 2 hours and giving out books. Is that okay with you? So we'll see. I hope it is.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's that kind of, you know, we're going to need all the help that we can with this, and we're going to be looking for volunteers to help with this literacy outreach. And so if anyone's interested, it's very exciting, and it's something that the library and the city has backed. So, and we're really appreciative of the city for all their help. They've really put all the contractor RFQ together with legal and stuff like that. So that's stuff that we definitely could not have handled ourselves. Mm-hmm. So.
And I might mention that it pays $12 an hour, right?
Yes, $12 an hour. And this is phase one. It's 6 months, and we're hoping that after 6 months we get more funding to extend it. So stay tuned for that. And then also we have the Bisbee Unified School District has potentially given us a room at the old Melody Lane Middle School. They are planning on moving their administrative offices into that one part of the school, and then these other rooms that are down a hallway would be community rooms. And actually, at the next city council meeting, there will be a MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding, and we're hoping that the council and mayor will approve the MOU, and all that is just accepting the school district's terms of us having this room. We're really excited about this because we think that it can work in conjunction with this literacy outreach. This is the middle school, which is just right around here, that way. and we already have Step Up Bisbee NACO has agreed to help build out the room with shelving, furniture, and as soon as this passes City Council, we will be contacting them. They've been waiting kind of in the, on the sidelines, waiting until we had this ready for approval. So we're super excited about that. Yes, Jenny.
That is very exciting, but I don't usually ask this kind of question. Does it involve a budget, and that going to be some kind of a challenge?
No, Step Up Bisbee NACO has donated monies for all the supplies to build the shelving and the furniture. Super generous. The Bloomers have given money for a picnic table and planters to be built by the high school construction class that would be put out front to make it look inviting. And then we are going to be applying for a grant from the Arizona State Library to for books and other materials. So if it all comes together like it's in my head, it should be a go. And the idea of this room is to create a community room in San Jose, something that volunteers could unlock the door, open it up, and have people come in. We would be checking out books. And so we're really looking for a strong volunteer base to help with this. We can do special programs. We already have ideas of doing summer programming there and extending the summer reading program with other programming at that space as well. It could be anything. It could be everything. We're really excited just to get it moving. And this has been an idea for a really long time, and to have it be a physical space would be really cool. So
it sounds like it can be a satellite library.
Kind of. It could be. We're calling it the annex, and yeah, it could, with volunteers, if a volunteer wants to open that anytime, that would be all right with us. You know, we're hopefully going to stock it with, you know, games, puzzles, everything that we have at the library in Old Bisbee, and more so. The room is gigantic. It's actually bigger than my house. it's one of the rooms down the hallway. I think it's like 800 square feet. It's quite large, and we would have, you know, a reading area. We would have computers. We would have there's a whole, like, you know, all this stuff that we don't have in Old Bisbee. There's like a sink, and there's a countertop, and, you know, we could do art projects, we could do science projects. So we're kind of dreaming big, and if any of that becomes a reality, that would be awesome, and we think it actually could all become a reality, so we're really excited about that. Any questions? Okay, I think that's...
Okay, time for the budget update.
No new news on the budget, but we are, I think, going to be working soon with finance on this next budget round.
Probably no hope for an increase of any sort.
I have no idea. I'm hopeful. If we were increasing, it wouldn't be that big of thing, you know, big of a monetary increase, but with some small ones, we could do more. So, fingers crossed. We'll keep you all updated on that.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. You know, let us know when that meeting happens, and then if you need us to be there, we'll be there.
For sure. So we'll see about that.
So grants update.
So Allison and myself applied for, there's a grant that the Arizona State Library is offering, and it's for the purchase of hotspots. So these are, we could actually check out the internet for people. And the grant covers 10 hotspots, and we've developed a whole, you know, circulation policy for them. So we just submitted that on Friday, so I'm not sure when we will learn about that, but it's actually really cool. A priority would be given to, obviously, people without internet, low-income families. Those would be our ideal people to check out to. This means that you can check out a hotspot, you can go home, and you can use all the library's online resources. You can practice your GED test with our practice tests online. You could apply for jobs. You could do research. You could research your genealogy. It's really interesting, just concentrating on the library databases that we have online, there's so much that you can do. You can learn language at home. You know, it's very, and this is like the new thing. It's new to me. Like, you can actually check out a hotspot. You can renew a hotspot. And the one cool thing about these are, if you don't return it, it automatically is disabled. So it's of no use anymore. So that was one of the big questions. Like, well, what if someone takes off with it? Well, it'll just be disabled and it wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So this is for people that have computers, but
this
no internet.
This is for people who have computers or any internet, a smartphone, any internet-enabled device, a tablet.
But no internet connection.
Right.
Is hotspot some sort of trademark, or is it supposed to be descriptive, or what?
It's just, I don't know who came up with it, but it's a spot that's hot. It means that you have internet. You know, you're connected. You're hot on the internet.
How big is it?
I actually have no idea.
It's actually a thing?
It's a device, and I think it's rather small. And we would have them all packaged with instructions, care, and they would all go in a little bin, I think. You know. Okay. So. it's kind of cool. We also applied for a science grant, a STEM grant, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, from RAIN, which is Rural Activation Innovation Network. It's a Cochise County thing. And that would be for more STEM kids programming at the library. It would go along with supplies and science books to go with it. And one of the cool things we were looking at, and this would be the showpiece, and this would be the people, the thing that would drive people in to the library. It's a microscope that connects via USB to your computer, so you can take a screenshot of the specimen that you're looking at. This we can hook up to the projector in the meeting room, so we can all see on the big screen what everyone's looking at in the microscope. And we have all these, you know, brainstorming, all these things that we can do. We can have a microscopic scavenger hunt. You know, we can go outside and look for things to bring back in, put under the microscope. We would definitely get a set of pre-made slides. They're kind of standard slides that, you know, come, that you can buy that are already matted. And, you know, it's like, I had one as a kid, and we had, you know, there was one that was a mosquito, one that was a flea, you know, a leaf fiber, stuff like that. It could be really cool. So that's included in the grant. So if we get the grant, we'll be having microscopic scavenger hunts. So stay tuned for that. And that is something that we can also take to the, have it mobile and take to the Melody Lane schoolroom. We could also have classrooms can come in and use it. This would be something that would not be able to be checked out, but groups can come in. You know, we're trying to look to include more homeschooled kids. We're trying to form a homeschool group that could come in weekly and use the library. They come in already and check out books and stuff like that, but to have it more kind of organized, and that would be really cool. And as far as other grants, I think Freeport, we're applying for Freeport again for to sponsor the summer reading program, which they have in the past 2 years. So we're hopeful that that will happen again. And like I said, we will be applying for the Arizona State Library to furnish with books and supplies like that, or that schoolroom. As soon as the city council passes that or approves that, then we're going to move forward with the rest of that stuff. But we're not going to do anything until that happens. So that, again, that should be this one coming up first Tuesday of February. And I think that is all that I have.
And nothing under miscellaneous or other?
Unless anyone has any, wants to bring up anything.
I'm trying to remember that I went to Diane Gregg's memorial.
Yes.
Had I mentioned that before? Mm-hmm. Anyway, then I'll mention it now. Just that she had been such a lovely volunteer in the library bookstore. And over the years, she donated chocolate many times to the chocolate tasting event. And so I just want to make that, you know, comment that she was a really fine volunteer and donated many hours to the library.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember when she died, but I did stand at the at the memorial and comment again that she was a really nice person and a really nice volunteer and will be missed.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I'd like to say that I think things are going swimmingly, and you're doing wonderful work above and beyond just the norm. Is there anything that you want from us? Any particular help? Or sounds like you don't need too much help in making decisions.
No.
You're on a roll.
Yeah, just, you know, the budget thing coming up, we'll be asking for your support for that. I'm kind of hopeful that this will be a good budget year, and we won't take any more cuts, but we will see about that. And just keep coming in and supporting the library, and check out books and come to our programs. You know, the more people that we have, the stronger we are. even patrons, you know, I thank every patron that checks out something, because they're keeping us going, you know, it's, and they're not buying anything, but they're with their support, they are.
Well, with your graphs, I should think that would be a wonderful presentation for the budget.
Yes, I will definitely be bringing all that stuff, and yeah. I've given this all to Andy with Public Works, which the library is under, and I let him know, you know, everything that's going on, so he can convey that to anyone that asks. I printed you out a copy of our February newsletter, which makes me want to, I'll close on this. The Friends were kind enough to purchase all new art supplies for our children's library. And so we've created a makerspace. It's very organized. Everything fits perfectly in their little bins. This makes me so happy because I love organization. Mm-hmm. Everything's labeled. Everything's new. We stage the kids' table out in the library during the week. We just put out some supplies, and we have a little sign that says, you know, there's more supplies in the cabinet. Just please return everything back to the cabinet the way you found it. And it's going great. We've got everything from, we got markers, crayons, colored pencils, glue sticks, googly eyes, pom-poms, craft sticks. It's great. It's great. So we've actually had a few adults sit down and make something too. So it's for everybody. We encourage anyone to come in and check it out.
So are those washable magic markers?
They are. They're washable magic markers, washable paints. Everything's washable. Erasable colored pencils.
Jason, this is on a different topic.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Kindle borrowing is represented in our statistics. Do you think that's a significant number at this point?
Larry at the district has all those statistics, and I can email him and ask.
The reason I ask is that I've really gotten into the habit, and I'm kind of a two books a week kind of person, and I don't know how many of us there are, but it might be a significant number. And your statistics are so powerful that I just always...
But that would be really good to include that, because there's a whole...
I used to be the book gal, and now I'm the Kindle gal.
Right. Yeah. That brings me on the side one of the newsletter. And if you all don't know about Libby, Libby is a new reading app from OverDrive. So if you've been... if you check out e-audiobooks or e-books... it's become a lot easier with Libby. Check it out, and I'd actually like to know, because you use a Kindle, right?
Oh, yeah.
So according to Libby's description, that you can easily, it's a one-tap borrowing, and then you can send it to your Kindle. So if you test that out, let me know, because their whole thing is this one-tap thing, and you can... I was playing with it over the weekend on my phone, and one tap you can listen to a sample of an audiobook. One tap you can borrow it. You can either stream it if you don't have enough room on your device, or you can actually download it to your device. And it's supposed to be very seamless and very easy to use.
I would second that.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried it. My little thought was, well, okay, it's better if I do it at home with Wi-Fi. If you have Wi-Fi, then you're not going to use up all your bandwidth or end up with a big bill because, oh, I'm reading it in the mall
right.
somewhere or something
like
that.
If
you're
yeah.
just streaming it, then it's like, but those are things that you kind of have to
yeah.
either pay attention to or you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And I'll see if Libby makes it any easier to return a book. I can return a book, but I don't think a lot of people can.
Oh. Yeah, but do
it's a multi-step process.
To return it early?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, let me know about that. Mm-hmm. And it should work on every... It's for Android, iPhones, and all their products, and Windows 10. And like I said, it should just... it says that you can just send it over to your Kindle. So I don't have a Kindle, so I can't do that.
I have one in my purse.
Any other questions or comments on anything? Okay, for the good of the order, the next meeting will be Monday, April 16th, and I move we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, meeting is adjourned.
16?
Big time?
March 16th?
April.
Oh. Yeah, I did. Why did I hear March? I heard March. You didn't say it, I heard it.